Welcome to Birth on Film, a podcast discussing and analysing depictions of pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum in popular culture. We are your hosts, Emma, a midwife,
and James, her mid-husband, coming to you from Ngunnawal country in the Australian Capital Territory.
Welcome to episode 3, and we're covering the 1994 movie, Junior.
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, alongside Emma Thompson.
The synopsis of the movie is, the boundaries of nature and science are tested when a fertility researcher becomes the world's first pregnant man. It was directed and produced by Ivan Reitman.
And writers were Kevin Wade and Chris Conrad. Kevin is a man, but Chris is a lady.
Oh, cool. It cost $60 million to make, and it only brought in $108.4 million at the box office.
Yeah.
I say only, but...
Yeah, it's only by Hollywood standards.
Didn't quite double it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't do massively well. The reason it had such a big budget, or at least part of the reason, was that this movie came off the back of two other movies that both starred Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of which is, you can probably guess, Twins.
Yes.
Which I think was a pretty big success. But the other one, which I didn't really think about, is Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so these two together had made a bank.
These two, in my mind, are like a package deal.
Yeah.
From the 90s.
Yeah, carrying on the trend of it not doing so well, it got 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics score, and only 22% in the audience score.
Not great.
And that's with over 100,000 reviews from the audience. It's a huge number of reviews, and nobody likes it.
Oh, what do you remember about this movie when it came out?
So I watched it on TV, I'm pretty sure, back when we watched TV and it was free to air and there'd be movies on like Wednesday night or whatever.
Yes.
Probably in the 2000s, the early 2000s, I watched it. And I remember it being, funny man Arnold Schwarzenegger and funny man Danny DeVito do dumb pregnancy stick. Kind of what I thought it was.
I remember this movie pretty fondly. We would have had it on VHS because it was also in high rotation in our house.
Really? You watch this one a lot too?
Yes.
Interesting.
These are the early signs that I was going to become a midwife.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I was watching all the movies with pregnancy and birth. I remember some parts of this movie quite clearly. I don't think I ever took in any of the scientific information. Well, the movie opens with Alec standing in a library. He can hear a baby crying
somewhere
in the library, and he goes looking and he finds a baby on the counter.
First of all, he's annoyed and disturbed to hear the baby crying.
Yes.
He doesn't look...
What's the baby doing in the library?
Yeah. How dare that baby intrude on my reading time?
Yes. Finds the baby that's all alone, and he says, there must be a mother around here somewhere. And then that turns into a nightmare where he rounds a corner and comes to a theatre room that is full of babies sitting in the theatre chairs.
Yeah, there's like 30 babies and they're all sitting three a chair, I think, mostly. They're all crying.
Very strange. Strange start to the movie.
So this scene sets up that we're talking about babies and Alec doesn't like them.
No, doesn't like them and probably has a deep-seated fear of...
everything to do with babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's very clearly dreaming. Then we follow him to his workplace, which is a university. We didn't immediately cotton on what his scientific profession is, that he is scientific.
We cut into the lab and he's doing the thing that you see in some movies where the important doctor's walking with the gaggling trail of students all taking in his every word. And he's saying some sciencey stuff about birth.
Yes. So in particular, he's talking about a drug called expectane, which they are developing in the lab. It's a drug to assist recurrent miscarriage, and they are mid-experiment. They have a chimp in the lab who had recurrent miscarriages, and after taking this experimental drug called expectane, is now 7 months pregnant, and they're preparing to go to the FDA to get approval to start human trials.
Yeah.
Then we cut across to a place called the Fertility Center, and we see Danny DeVito's character, Larry, in his place of work, and we establish that he's an OBGYN / fertility specialist.
Yeah. And his life seems like it's crazy busy.
Busy. He's got a waiting room full of pregnant women waiting to see him.
His ex-wife is on the phone. who's coming over.
Yeah, and she then, the ex-wife, comes in and announces to him that she's approximately 7 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And he immediately assumes it's his, but she then breaks it to him that, actually, it's not. She'd like him to be her doctor.
Yeah.
Regardless, which he says, no, I'll get the other guy.
I thought that this was a really interesting scene because we find out that they have been together for a long time and that they're not together now. But his reaction to being told that she's pregnant is assuming it's his, which is fine because they had done the nasty at some point recently. But then when he finds out that it's not his, there's like no blame at all. He just kind of goes, oh, you're pregnant with somebody else's baby and cool, that's good for you, I'm happy. Like there was no, it would be so easy to play this off as, ah, you
very nice woman. Yeah. We then move to Larry and Alex at an FDA decision where they're trying to talk about the scientific achievements thus far of their experimental drug.
It's basically a pitch meeting to the FDA to give them more funding and approve them for human trials.
Yes.
Or at least consider them for ethics review, I guess. It's probably how it works.
And then shortly after, we find out that it was not successful, the FDA.
Yeah. We get a little bit more of the Alex and Larry dynamic where Alex is a really stiff science guy.
Yes.
Very proper. And Larry's kind of, like you'd expect
him to be. He feels like a salesman.
He feels like a salesman who also has qualifications.
So anyway, Alex loses his funding from the university and gets kicked out of his lab. Enter Diana, played by Emma Thompson. We're told she's an amazing scientist who is running an ovum cryogenics project, which in lay terms is she's doing a project about frozen eggs.
Yeah, we don't know the details of the project though.
No, except that her entrance is this big dramatic. She flies in literally on a piece of scientific equipment that contains all these frozen eggs.
Yeah, she calls it her dairy section. At no point are we talk about the fact that they are human eggs.
No.
They are just eggs. So, yes,
and like, we are in a lab that has monkeys.
Yeah.
So.
But also she's doing cryogenics. And in 94, I assume cryogenics was a more nascent field than it is today.
Yes.
So you'd expect it not to be human eggs. But anyway, we'll get to why that's important later on.
Alec is sad, wants to go back to Europe, and back Larry talks him out of it.
Yeah. It follows him to the airport, sits on the plane next to Alex, and talks him off the plane to come back and work on the project.
Wanting to see it go to human trial, but without the backing of the FDA. Alex says to Larry, what woman is going to take an unapproved drug?
Yeah.
And Larry says, who says we need a woman? Which starts the ball rolling on this plan. Larry then says, we just need a guest host. We will get an embryo, implant it into the peritoneal cavity of a man. So the peritoneal cavity being the space between like your rib cage and your pelvis, where your intestines and liver and stomach, everything lives.
Scientifically known as the belly.
The belly. He'll only have to carry it through the first trimester whilst on the expectant and we'll monitor it. And that's it. We've then done a human trial.
Yeah.
Larry is really trying to sell it to Alex as, you're a scientist, you want to be on the cutting edge. And Alex is like, oh, I don't know. But he does come around fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So they've got sperm and then they need to get an egg. And Larry says, don't worry, I'll sort it out. He steals an egg from Diana's project. The egg is called Junior. So we then have a scene back at the fertility center.
Yeah.
And it's at night. Larry and Alex by themselves and they've defrosted the egg.
Do you know much about the cryogenic part and how you would defrost an egg, particularly as a non-expert?
They defrost them.
Let them thaw?
Yes, let them thaw.
Yeah, so they have a scene where Alex goes into the doing the business room of the clinic, which has a wall of VHS porn.
Yes.
Comes out with
quite a full cup of sperm.
I don't remember seeing the cup of sperm, but I'll take your word that you had eyes on that sperm.
Yeah.
And then he gives it to Larry.
And Larry looks at it under the microscope and makes comments about, wow, like you've got great sperm.
Yeah, he says, great motility, good count. And then looks up from the microscope and says, great load, lots of swimmers.
Yeah.
Like really dumbing it down for this other scientist.
And then they do the IVF in vitro fertilization. They show the dish that they put the egg and the sperm in together. And that is IVF, that they just put them together and they let the sperm find the egg. What most movies show as IVF is actually ICSI.
ICSI.
Intracytoplasmic sperm injection.
Right.
Which is like the step up from IVF. It's actually something that's bothered me when we've been watching other things where IVF has come up and then they've shown ICSI.
I've honestly never questioned it and thought that IVF involved a big old
time. No, yes, but like they actually did it properly in this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
It looks very unscientific. The way that they did it in this movie, you just bang it in a tube and hope for the best. Watch it happen, I guess.
Then we see Alex start taking the drug.
Mystery blue drug.
Yes, it's a blue syrup.
I don't know if they explained it here, but the serum or whatever it is he's taking is expectane plus a bunch of female hormones.
Yes, because Alex is male.
Yeah.
Larry has added estrogen and progesterone to the expectane drug mix to essentially make the right hormone balance to sustain the pregnancy.
Larry grabs an ultrasound.
They inject the embryo into his peritoneal cavity just below his belly button.
Yep.
Says that looks like a great spot. We have this sort of moment on the ultrasound machine. You see the embryo in the peritoneal cavity.
Which you see some motion on the scanner.
Yes.
All right. So then we cut from basically two satisfied scientists to a dream sequence. Well, we don't know what's a dream sequence to begin with, but it is. Of Alex in a hospital bed.
Surrounded by flowers.
A weird nurse, I want to say.
A very attractive nurse.
I don't understand. I guess it's dream sequence, so whatever.
She almost looks like she belongs in one of those VHSs we'd seen in the donation room.
Oh, maybe they had a scene there. That would have been a really cool... Anyway, the movie's long enough as it was. And she's wearing a very tailored fake nurse's outfit.
Well, this is what I mean.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's borderline fetish.
I'm glad you picked up on that too and it wasn't just me being a weirdo. No. but anyway, she's carrying this little baby who's crying and not having a great time. And she gives it to Alex and it's got Alex's face and it's crying and it starts shouting out, "Mama."
Yes.
Looking at him.
So it turns really nightmarish.
Yeah.
And he does wake up and he's in Larry's house.
Yeah.
Surrounded by lots of medical equipment. And then Larry gets him to do a urine sample. Huge urine sample.
Yeah, it's like half a litre. Huge,
very yellow, very cloudy. I would not be proud to say that that was my urine sample. And they do an old school pregnancy test on it where he takes a little bit of the urine, puts it in a test tube, then drops in another liquid, I would assume, to check for beta-HCG, which is the pregnancy hormone. And then the urine goes blue and they both say, oh, it's positive. So it's confirmed that the embryo has taken.
Yeah, what does that... So in a normal pregnancy, it's picking up on beta-HCG.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
Where the embryo has implanted. So you've got the yolk sac, the gestational sac.
Yeah.
And that's sort of attached...
To the inside of the uterus.
Yes. Yeah. Although that not all pregnancies do end up in the uterus, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And you still excrete beta-HCG regardless of a pregnancy being in the uterus or not. So it is plausible that he has beta-HCG in his blood because ectopic pregnancies, so pregnancies outside of the uterus.
Still cause still, itch to drop
yes.
in urine.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say his body doesn't have a uterus, doesn't react the same way to the implantation. I just kind of assumed that it was the mother that produced the thing.
No, so it's the pregnancy, yes.
So, yeah, I was going to say, why would this work?
I did look up some stats on this because essentially they've created an ectopic pregnancy. So ectopic meaning a pregnancy outside of the uterus.
Yeah.
And... The current estimates is that 2% of all pregnancies are ectopic.
Mm.
Of that 2% of pregnancies that are ectopic, only 1.4% are deemed intra-abdominal. So that means not in the tube.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And not on the uterus.
Also in this, Alex says something about being crazy for doing this, and Larry says, "You may be crazy, but you're also pregnant."
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a running theme of pregnant people being called crazy.
Yes. Then we cut to 4 weeks later and Alex is in the lab with Diana and we start to get all of the pregnancy symptoms rolling out. So we see him running off to the bathroom to be sick.
growling really loudly.
Yes. He then says to Larry that his nipples are really sensitive, that he's got muscle cramps, and that he's really tired. And he says, I don't know how much more I can handle. Is at this point, maybe like 6 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
Then he gets questioned by Diana about having a substance abuse problem because she's seen that he's sick. And
the movie makes it very clear that she's noticed a lot of things about him, like you might if you had a crush on someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he blames having a mystery Austrian disease.
Glandensprung syndrome.
Yes. That essentially makes you fat. So then we cut forward in time a little bit, probably starting to near the end of the first trimester at this point.
Mm.
Angela comes over. She's visibly pregnant.
She busts in like she owns the joint because like she used to. And Angela starts talking about how she doesn't want to see the other gynecologist. He's a creep. I want to see you. Larry, basically gives up and goes, yeah, fine, I'll be a doctor. And I am happy for you for having this pregnancy.
Yes.
Because there's also like this undertone of they had been trying for 7 years and never made it.
And he says, we tried for 7 years and I did everything that I could, implying that him being a fertility specialist, he had done everything available at that point in time in terms of technology, and they hadn't had a baby.
So it's all his fault because his sperm a week or whatever in his mind. Then we cut to 11 weeks pregnant and 1 week left of the trial. They're doing an exam of some kind and Alex is watching and he's watching some ad about coffee or whatever and the dad's giving away the daughter. He's getting really sad and emotional and crying and he says that he was thinking about what it would feel like to give away your daughter at a wedding.
He's starting to get attached to the pregnancy.
Yeah. And the movie's making it clear that he's got hormones.
Yes. And everyone's telling him to, oh, you look so radiant.
Yeah, specifically that word. Yes. So Larry has to go off to the conference tonight where he's meeting with the drug guys who are going to buy this drug off them when they've got human testing finished. And Alex wants to go, which is new. He didn't want to go before, but now he wants to go because he's sick of being at home. And the last thing he says in this scene is, I have nothing to wear, which is really funny.
After the dinner party, Larry says to Alex, we've done enough of this experiment now. These pharmacy guys are on board.
Yeah, let's just get rid of this, finish it up. Yep.
Larry says to Alex, stop taking the expectant and the embryo will break down and be reabsorbed by your body. But we're beyond this being an embryo.
Yeah.
We're sort of 11 weeks pregnant at this point. This is a fetus.
Yep.
At 11 weeks gestation, the fetus has developed a placenta. It's pretty well established in here. This felt a little bit lacking. After we've had some pretty good science up to this point, this was just like, oh, yeah, and you're done. Because really, to end this pregnancy, you're probably thinking, because he doesn't have a uterus to expel this pregnancy, you'd be thinking, like, needing a surgical termination.
It's interesting that given we've been talking about, like, the ethical nature of human trials and stuff, that we just go ahead and go, we don't know what will happen if you take it to term. We also don't know what will happen if you terminate, stop taking the drugs, which we hope will end in a termination. So let's just wing it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it sort of felt a little bit unfinished, unplanned.
There's so many unknowns in this situation that just say, your body will take care of it.
Larry drops Alex back at his apartment.
Also, that's the other thing. Larry's just like, I'm done with you, bye. Go back to your apartment.
Yes, you're about to
possibly have a male miscarriage. We've never seen this before, but whatever. Yes,
maybe. Well, the risk is that you start, like, hemorrhaging internally or something. But that's all right. You can do that by yourself in your apartment. But Alex obviously doesn't want to give up the pregnancy. Has now become quite attached to the idea of this growing baby.
Yeah. He takes the drug one last time and there's thunder and lightning.
Yes. Yes. And then the movie jumps ahead to 10 weeks later. We see Alex at a computer in the lab where he's tracking the pregnancy.
Using a weird computer model thing.
Yes, and on the screen it says that he's 21 weeks.
Yeah.
We assume that Alex and Larry have still been seeing one another in these past 10 weeks, but Alex then has this moment where his shirt lifts up randomly and Larry sees the bump and realizes. So then Larry rushes Alex off to the fertility center where he's got a waiting room full of pregnant women.
That's right, and they start having a big argument in the waiting room as they're walking in about, it's my baby.
Yes. And then Larry explains it away to all the women in the waiting room as he thinks he's pregnant. He's a psychiatric patient from down the road. Don't worry about him. He's harmless.
And then just leaves this giant, apparently nuts man in the room.
It's so strange. Only for Larry to then go into his office to see Angela, his ex-wife, who's also very visibly pregnant, to take care of her pregnancy.
He gives her the shortest examination possible, which is he touches her belly and says, everything's fine, get out.
Yes.
Because he's busy with this new crisis.
Yes, brings Alex in, does an ultrasound.
Yeah.
And to his surprise, everything is normal.
Yeah.
This baby is growing normally, has a normal heartbeat. So we see then Alex developing a romantic relationship with Diana.
Yeah.
And then we see another scene of Alex bonding with Angela.
Yeah.
Where Angela sort of comes over for dinner and they start eating all these different cuisines together. Alex is cooked and they've ordered takeaway and yeah. they've got all the snacks. And Angela says, oh, you eat like a pregnant woman.
In this scene, there's also a bunch of stereotypical pregnant woman tropes. Alex is annoyed that Larry didn't come home for dinner or yes. said he was going to be here on the time and he wasn't.
It's hormonal, I'm saying in
yeah.
air quotes.
Yeah, yes. yeah.
And he said to Diana, does my body disgust you?
That's right.
Alex ends up going on a date with Diana, goes out to dinner.
Yeah.
Diana confronts Alex about that made-up disease and says, I know that it's made up. Tries to question Alex, like,
what's actually going
on? What's actually going on? Like, why are you getting fat?
Do you actually have a substance abuse or is it something else?
Well, Alex says to Diana, have you ever got involved in your own scientific experiments? And she goes, well, actually, I have. One of my frozen eggs is mine.
Yeah.
I called it Junior.
Yeah.
Because it's neither male nor female. So, therefore, that's its name. And then the penny drops for Alex.
There had been a scene earlier where Alex, to Larry, called the baby Junior. And Larry went, why are you calling it Junior? How do you know this? Like, a bit defensive about the name.
Yes.
Which didn't make sense to Alex at the time. Yes. And now it's all come floating together.
Yes. Alex has put two and two together and leaves the date, races off to confront Larry about...
where did you get this egg from?
Egg. And then we realise it is Diana's egg.
Yeah. Now, both Alex and Larry know that there's a stolen egg and they know whose it is. Throughout these scenes also, Alex has the pregnant waddle going on.
Yes.
Which is quite, like, it's a bit of visual humour.
But it might be a genuine waddle as well because Arnie is wearing quite a large prosthetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Angela shows up to Larry's house because she hasn't felt the baby move for 2 days. And Larry really downplays it.
Yes.
And that really annoyed me because...
it's serious.
Yes.
And it could be serious.
He almost belittles her about it. But then her baby moves and that's fine.
We move on from that.
Then, yeah, Alex gets home. Larry goes to feel Alex's baby and Angela catches...
this weird scene.
This happening. And Angela... says, what, are you two in some kind of twosome?
Yes, a twosome.
Which I guess is the PG way of saying, what, are you guys gay?
Is that a problem to, maybe I don't know. In 94 maybe it was.
Alex then tells Diana that he's pregnant and that it's our Junior.
Yeah.
That Larry had stolen the egg. And I liked Diana's reaction to this.
It's quite good.
She says... this is just so male.
Yeah.
You have to take this away from us as well.
Yeah.
And then we have Bane, the university guy, finding out also. So the backstory there, I guess, is that he'd been sniffing around Larry's house, had found the Expectane in the bathroom, had the Expectane tested to confirm that it was, in fact, Expectane. The assistant that helped Bane said, oh, and actually it's got very high amounts of estrogen and progesterone, the sort of levels you'd expect if someone was going through a sex change. And then Bane looked out the window and saw Alex waddling across the university.
Yeah.
And starts to put it together.
We're using the language of the movie here.
Definitely. The language of 1994 and not the language of the modern day.
Yeah.
Not long after sort of telling Diana about what had happened, Bane storms in with university security and says, I know what's happening. You and your baby are university property.
Yeah.
You're a university experiment and I'm going to detain you. And Alec yells out, my body, my choice, and runs away.
At some point he smacked someone real good too. I'm not sure if it was Bane or somebody else.
Bit of an Arnie action scene in there.
Yeah.
Just for good measure.
Everybody's a bit up in arms about this. Larry and Alex are like, well, we got to leave the town at least. We got to go hide somewhere and lay low until...
and we have it confirmed at some point here that Alex is 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
The next scene we see Alex dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
Dressed in a very pink two-piece ensemble with a very bad wig.
And pearls.
And pearls, yes. Yeah. Going to pregnancy health resort.
That's right. Is this a thing that exists?
I've only ever seen it in this movie.
Yeah, okay. Because it seems like a rich person thing. Like, you know.
Maybe it's real. I didn't look it up. But the whole idea is that it's this retreat.
It's like rehab.
Yes.
Rehab for pregnant women.
But it's full of pregnant women and they're doing Lamas and they're doing pregnancy yoga and going for nice walks and eating nice food.
Yeah.
So we get really a montage of enjoyable time at pregnancy retreat.
Yeah. So I think that this goes to part of what I remember about the movie. I think I remember this part in it. And I think I remember this being played for humor. But when I watched it this time, it just felt nice.
Yes.
Like, it just felt like it was a little bit Alex not really getting into it to begin with and being like, this is weird woman stuff. Why am I doing this? But then eventually it was like, no, actually, it's nice to do yoga and it's nice to go for walks and pick flowers.
And it's nice to talk to other pregnant people.
Yeah.
About pregnancy and to have a cry.
And you've got all this shared experience with these women.
Yes. And do a bit of childbirth education.
Bit of Lamas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely been thrown in there as like a, ha-ha, look at this man trying to fit in a woman's space.
Yeah.
But
he does.
Yeah.
Because he's got the shared experience.
Embraces it, yes.
Yeah, he goes with it. And he's this sense of, I guess maybe it's a particular time and a particular person would find it funny to see Annie crying, but like that's the scenes of him like bawling his eyes out talking to people, and
yes,
it didn't play as comedy.
They're trying to sort of essentially make fun of Arnie, the big guy, the big action hero.
I think there's a lot of that's why he was chosen for this role, but it kind of just viewed with a modern lens at least wasn't.
So then Diana visits the retreat.
Yeah, and they have a nice moment.
They have a nice romantic moment and they agree that they want to do this together. And then Diana says, I'll be jammed if I have a child with a man I've never slept with. We then cut to post-coital moment.
Yeah.
And I've got some questions about the logistics of that.
Of the nasty times.
Of the pregnant sex.
Yeah. So in a normal pregnancy, the birth is in a uterus.
Yes.
Uterus is basically all muscle. With some extra stuff. Yes. Uterus is a very strong thing that can survive car crashes and, you know, jumps through burning buildings or whatever. It's like it's a great organ that really well protects everything that's inside it. Alex has none of that. No. Alex just has
a pregnancy in the peritoneal cavity.
Yeah. Exposed compared to a normal pregnancy in a uterus.
Yes.
Is he going to bust the sack by bumping into a table?
The reading I did after this about intra-abdominal pregnancy, when an intra-abdominal pregnancy happens, the chance of it getting to full term and for that baby to be born alive is so, so, so slim because, like you said, the protective factor that most pregnancies have, which is the amazing uterus, is not there. So first of all, you've got a placenta attached
somewhere
where it should not be. We know that a placenta is the size of a dinner plate term.
Yeah.
So it's a big old organ that you've grown that's then adhered itself.
Normally to a uterus.
Yes, it's inside the uterus that's grown and can accommodate it. But in this case, is adhered somewhere. They never explain in this movie where Alex's placenta has attached itself. First of all, I don't think Alex's pregnancy would have the same tone as a normal pregnancy.
Oh, no, yeah. As in, you mean as like the shape tone? And the, the look of the pregnant. We're looking at a fake pregnant belly here, but it wouldn't look like a normal fake pregnant belly.
No. And yes, like you've just brought up, it's also a much riskier pregnancy.
Yeah.
In that the risk of the placenta detaching and causing bleeding would be very high. The risk of the amniotic sac being broken is really high.
I've just realized that I had a bad picture in my head still. Emma had to draw me a diagram so that I could get this point across and so that I could understand this because you don't have to think about this in normal terms. But so there's an amniotic sac that is surrounding the baby with an umbilical cord between the baby and the placenta, placenta, and then the sac kind of goes to where the placenta is, and the placenta extends through the sac onto normally the uterus wall, in this case, Arnie's peritoneal cavity. So he doesn't have like a ball and string where the baby's floating around in a sac on a string. He's got a weird loose sac with no protection surrounding a baby who's on a string. If he has a big meal, he's going to break the sac.
Well, yes, a lot of what Alex's character has done in this movie thus far, to me, is quite dangerous.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered how high a risk it was.
Yes. And I think this is interesting too, because the chances of that pregnancy getting to this point is so, so, so slim.
Particularly when you don't take extra precautions.
Yes, and we're not taking any precautions.
No.
No. We're still at the retreat the next day and Alex Query goes into labour.
I think we're more than one day away, but yeah, it's shortly after that.
Yes. So Alex is at the breakfast buffet and has sudden crippling pain in the abdomen, grabs at his belly and runs off to his room.
Yeah. I just need to have a lie down, he says.
Locks himself in his room, talks to Larry, who's away at the time, but says, yeah, it's all right, I'm going to come back and we're going to set up for an emergency C-section tonight.
So he calls his clinic. He talks to his offsider, who's going to clear out the building and get everybody gone except for Larry, the obstetrician, and I think one nurse.
Yes.
Janitor overhears this, who's apparently a snitch for Baines, and gives him the tip-off that it's all happening tonight.
Yes. Larry and Diana both race to the pregnancy retreat to get Alex, who... This is all being portrayed as though Alex is in full-blown labour.
Yeah.
And Alex in the car on the way to the hospital, like they're speeding away from the retreat to the fertility centre, says, I feel like Junior has kicked a hole through something.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, yeah, possibly. Yeah. Like, it's not great.
The mechanics of what labour even are in a man with no uterus is also weird and questionable.
In my notes where I said, goes into labour, question mark, because is it labour when you don't have a uterus producing contraction? So
yeah, how does his body know?
Alex is sort of acting as though he is contracting as if in labor, yeah, except there's nothing contracting in Alex.
He has
there's
no uterus
to contract.
Yeah,
it's possible that that Alex is in pain because maybe the placenta is starting to detach from the intestines or wherever else it's attached, yeah, and that it's really painful. But
yeah, we don't.
It's not
we
labor. Don't. As we know it.
And we don't ever really find out the answer to this as to, like, what was happening in that moment. Like, where was the baby going? If he was in labour and the baby was being pushed towards the birth canal that doesn't exist in him, what was happening?
But, yeah, and there's nothing to push the baby. There's nothing...
Yeah. So do we assume, scientifically speaking, that something had, quotes, gone wrong?
Yes.
Gone wrong meaning placenta detaching.
Something's happening, yes.
Yeah.
But in which case...
It's not labour.
No, I think that they should have been treating it more emergently than they were.
They should have already been in a hospital for the last...
Yes.
Yeah.
So, headed towards the hospital, and Baines from the university has called a press conference to announce to the world there's the first pregnant man about to arrive.
Yeah.
But they've been foiled, and Larry arrives with Angela.
Yeah, just diffuses the whole situation.
Yes, and has left Alex and Diana around the back to sneak in.
Sneak in up a ladder. This 9 months pregnant man,
yes,
climbs a ladder with his labour pains going on.
So Angela's at the beginning pretending to be in labour, but then by the time they get upstairs realises, oh, actually, I'm also in labour.
Yeah.
Larry's attention is very much on Alex and they go into the operating room,
yep,
to do an emergency C-section. They sort of state to the room that Alex has had an epidural.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we don't have an anaesthetist present. Alex is awake. He's draped, has his pregnant belly exposed.
Yeah. No curtain between him and the belly.
No.
Because it's a movie.
And then we don't see the operation. I have some questions about where they're making the incision and then once they get inside, how they're getting the baby out. They show some tinkering.
They basically do this whole thing in face close-ups of Alex, then Larry, then Alex, then Larry.
Yes.
Which is a
Larry
good way
looking
of not
worried,
it.
Alex looking worried, and then we hear a baby start crying. Meanwhile, while this cesarean section is happening, Angela's out in the waiting room with Diana in labor.
For drugs.
Diana has laid Angela down on the floor.
Yeah.
She's like, I guess, yeah, early in labour,
yeah. Yeah.
Diana has laid her down on the floor.
With a cushion under her back and her legs, I think.
Yes, telling her to do her Lamaze breathing.
Yeah.
Angela's annoyed because she just wants drugs.
Yeah.
It's a bit strange.
You're saying that because there's no reason for her to be laying down. She's in pain. She's got cramps and stuff, but she could be sitting in a chair.
Around.
She could be walking around. She could be crawling around on all fours if she wanted to.
She could be doing all number of things to try and ease her labour discomfort, but Diana's just got her laying on the floor and is sort of hovering between the waiting room and trying to see what's happening with Alex. Then we get a scene of Alex sitting up in a hospital bed holding a little baby.
Yeah.
a fairly realistic newborn baby.
Yeah.
And Diana comes in to meet their baby.
Yeah.
And has a touching moment.
Partners change hands. Yes. Diana goes in to be with Alex, and Larry comes out to be with Angela and goes, oh, you're in labor. Why didn't you come tell me? Yes. We should have done something about this. Let's go. Yes.
And then fast forward.
Yeah.
To Angela in the very last moments of
birth. You're right that that's what happened. The movie didn't say that it fast forward. It just, it's like it cuts from her in the early stages to now she's having, yeah. Now she's having a baby.
And so she's in lithotomy. So she's on her back with feet up in stirrups.
Yeah.
Pushing Almighty and then has a baby.
Yeah.
Also a newborn-ish looking baby.
Yeah, with gunk on. Gunk and blood.
They put a bit of strawberry jam on that baby.
I wrote down that the baby slops out. And cries.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. And then that's it for the birth. We've had two births quite quickly. No gore. No mention of placenta for either of them.
Yeah, no. So I can see why you get away with it not talking about placenta in Alex's birth, because we don't want to go near that. That's very complicated.
I had such curiosity about where that placenta was and how they got it out. And one would imagine that in an intra-abdominal pregnancy that placenta has attached to intestines or bladder or all sorts of places it shouldn't have, and that then becomes actually quite major surgery to detach it.
That Larry is not skilled enough to deal with. No. Not correctly skilled with.
No, and is in a setting that it doesn't seem to be well-equipped to handle, say...
Big trauma.
Yeah.
This would be fairly large trauma.
Alex looks really well-recovered.
Yeah, very,
with the baby
very
in
after.
Arms.
Yeah.
Obviously, in Alex's case... You don't see Alex breastfeed. And there's been no mention of any sort of like breast growth or breast changes.
Yeah,
Alex,
and the scenes we've seen.
Despite being on female hormones and growing a pregnancy.
Yeah. The scene where we see, I think one of the only scenes late in pregnancy where we've seen with the shirt off is in the post-coital scene. And he's got the normal
pecs.
Yeah, he's got Arnold Schwarzenegger tits is what I was going to say. If you're on high levels of estrogen, you'd expect some changes.
Right. Yes, yeah, you'd get some breast tissue growth.
Yeah.
And then with the pregnancy hormones, I'm not suggesting that Alex would lactate, but with, the combination of pregnancy and estrogen, and you would expect some breast growth.
Yeah.
That's obviously too weird for 1994, too weird for a movie.
Yeah.
So we don't see any feeding of that baby, but we also don't see any breastfeeding of the other baby and no mention of it either.
Yep.
And then our next scene, we cut forward to... One year later, where the two babies are having their joint first birthday party.
Junior got called Junior, imaginative, and the other baby's called Jake.
You know, fast forward to 1 year later, Diana is now very pregnant.
Yeah.
And Angela says...
Oh, yeah, there's a postnatal bingo card item of somebody pressures somebody else into having a second kid because their first kid needs a sibling.
Yes.
Diana says to Angela, oh, you have to have another one. Jake needs a brother, I think.
Yes, this is something like that. And, Angela says, I don't know if I could do that again. But then the suggestion is, oh, but Larry could.
Yeah, we've got a way to fix that.
And then it just finishes up. There's no sequel, so I don't think Larry does end up having a baby. And that's it.
Yeah.
No real postpartum.
No, none of it.
Do you think it was realistic?
This is a science fiction movie.
So, no, it's not realistic.
The Alex pregnancy, no, not realistic. The... Angela pregnancy, perfectly fine.
Yes.
We didn't see enough of it to really judge it, but
no.
It was a fine, healthy, normal pregnancy.
Yes. I think you could change this question slightly and say, is it plausible?
I don't think it is. Given what we're talking about, how dangerous this birth would be. And also, I think that the notion that we'll just give you a bunch of hormones and that's enough is wrong. I think his immune system would have kicked in, his immune system would have done some different.
Well, the science isn't there yet. Certainly wasn't there in 1994.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave some fairly good scientific explanation for some parts of it, but then very much glossed over other parts of it. And that's, I think, what makes it unrealistic. Even though there's parts of it that are plausible, so we know that intra-abdominal pregnancies can happen and that they can get to term and babies can be born alive outside of the uterus. Super, 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 super rare.
Yeah.
It is a science fiction movie set in the real world in real time.
Yeah.
But it is a science fiction movie.
One of the things when you think about science fiction, you can use this as a framework, is that you get one gimme, one fake thing that they made up for the movie. And this is expectant in this case. This is a miracle drug that solves the immune system problem. But there are other problems outside of that gimme that are too hard to overcome.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I give
it a no. So not realistic.
Yeah.
Does it treat birth positively?
I think, overall, it maybe went a bit hard on look how different a man is on hormone. But first of all, Alex outright in the end of the movie says about how it's such a beautiful experience.
Yes.
Which is portrayed through his character throughout the movie. Even with all the crying and the, quotes, crazy behavior, it's still clearly a thing that he enjoyed.
I mean, they do bring the drama at the end, but I wouldn't say it was over-dramatized. And given that we're focusing here on a birth that is not realistic,
yeah,
the bar for drama would have to be pretty high, yeah, I think. And our last question, is it entertaining?
I think I've enjoyed this the most out of the movies we've watched so far. I think
it's entertaining.
I think it definitely deserves more than the scores. I'll remind you, the 39% and the 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. I thought this was a well-rounded, good movie.
So, yes, and I've been thinking about this. It is an entertaining movie to me. I think some of it has dated poorly. Some of it is showing its 30 years. Some of it is weird.
Yeah.
Not in an unexpected way. It is meant to be weird.
Mm.
I think if you went into this movie with Arnie and Danny DeVito thinking that it's going to be like their other movies, it's not.
I think it was quite heartfelt and it treated the matter with respect.
Yes. This movie was promoted as a comedy.
Yeah.
But there are parts of it that are very much not funny.
Yeah.
And they're not funny because they are really heartfelt.
Yeah.
They're these moments of Alex realizing that he really wants to be pregnant and wants to bring this baby into the world and has these like romantic moments with Diana and establishes a relationship with her, and they're not funny moments, right?
Yeah.
They're not meant to be.
Well, the I have to say that I expected Arnold Schwarzenegger's acting to be far less good than it was. He plays an interesting character for him who's like, he's a really straight-laced guy, but then he breaks all the rules and has a baby.
Yes.
And falls in love at the same time and becomes emotional at the same time. And that's a really fairly complicated set of things to play. And he does it in a way that, opposed to Emma Thompson as Diana, their chemistry is really real. Like, yes. It feels nice.
Yes. I think there's something to be said about the treatment of Diana in the movie, because you can see that they've very much tried to take her as far away from possible as, like, a typical womanly woman. So we never, apart from when they go to the ball, we never see Diana in a dress or a skirt.
Yeah, sure.
True. She's portrayed as like really clumsy, she's work focused. She doesn't come across as motherly or even interested in mothering.
And she didn't even realize she had an attraction to Alex until he basically told her that she was after him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's jarring to some people, that the roles are almost reversed there, that they dial down her femininity and dial up Alex's femininity.
Yeah.
It wasn't jarring to me. But again, you know,
it's 30 years later.
It's 30 years later.
Diana's character was around in a movie that came out today. I think that Tumblr would love her because they'd just call her an autistic bae. And they'd just love her because she's like this brilliant scientist who likes men just fine, but is more interested in her research and is an absolute klutz and is quite funny in her own right.
Yes. And just embraces who she is.
Yeah, she just does
her own thing. No shame in it. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, there's a scene where she acts for a full 5 minutes with a piece of cheese stuck to her face, and it's adorable.
Yes. Yes. So I can see where maybe things didn't land in critic land.
Yeah.
But for me, I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, it doesn't – the overlap between people who like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and people who go to comedies at the theatre don't line up for people who like this movie.
No.
That's why it's – bad marks, I reckon. But yeah, I think it was very entertaining. I laughed a lot in this movie, and I also was like, had other good feels.
And the other thing that I found entertaining, and I know that this is because I'm a birth nerd, is that there was actually some good scientific fodder.
Yeah, some things to think about.
I mean, I did get annoyed at other points where they glossed over the science.
Can't have it all, babe.
No, but there were some points in it where I was like, hey, they got that right.
Yeah.
So, all in all, good. That's it.
That's it for today.
If you would like to contact us or find our socials, please check the show notes for links.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Birth on Film.